one of the voices of the Toronto Blue Jays on the television side, joins us right now. Dan Shulman. Hey, Dan, long time no talk.
How you guys doing today?
Doing very well. So yeah, like I said, it's weird because I always get excited about the start of spring training, and we'll have conversations about the Blue Jays' chances this year, and we'll have more in-depth specific Blue Jays conversations. But yeah, it's shocking news to hear today that Jerry Howarth is stepping away from the microphone after 36 years.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I mean, we all remember that he missed a few weeks last year when he was under the weather, and when he came back, he he said he felt good and he sounded good, but I guess, the stamina and the energy and his voice never quite came all the way back. And, I think everybody wants to be able to go out on their terms. And I'm sure Jerry, whether it was a year, two, three, however many from now, would have done that. But I think I heard a lot of him this morning when I was driving around. And as always, he was gracious and humble and appreciative and self-deprecating and so on and so forth. And I think he, when it's if he's unable to do it at the level at which he wants to do it, then, this is the best decision for him and his family. As he said, he's got kids and grandkids, and it'll give him a little more time with them. And, he's been a huge part of baseball, not only in Toronto, but all across the country for 36 years, as you said. It's incredible. I mean, I remember when he started. I'm a little bit older than you guys, and I remember when he started in 1981. Early Wynn was with Tom before that, and then Jerry came in midseason, if I'm not mistaken. And, every single game he did with a positive attitude, a great work ethic, an upbeat, sound in his voice, and he was terrific. He was, he was terrific from the day he got there, and it's not difficult. All you have to do is meet him once, and it's not difficult to see why, he endeared himself to so many people.
Yeah, I think that's a great way of putting it. I wonder if, as a play-by-play broadcaster yourself and someone who's also great at it, that, we tend to, in this business and in all walks of life, try to borrow little pieces from other from our peers and people we admire. And I wonder if there's something for you remember trying to take from Jerry.
Well, I think, again, I do mostly TV, and I do some radio baseball, but mostly TV, and TV and radio are very, very different. But I think one of the things that I always admired Jerry for, two things, is and I said it this morning when I was on the air with him, if you only heard Jerry do one game, you got his best. No matter when it was, you got his best. Jerry never sounded like he didn't want to be there. And, you do 162 games for 36 years. I don't have the math on the top of my head, but that's over 5,000 games. And, some of those were for great teams and some of those were for not great teams. So I think as much as anything, what I subconsciously tried to borrow from him is, hey, we're going to be lucky to have these jobs. There aren't that many of these jobs. And going to the ballpark to call a baseball game is a pretty special thing. Secondarily, as a radio guy, I think he always did a great job both painting a picture and really personalizing. He's one of the best I've ever heard at helping you get to know the person, not just the batting average, the home runs, the RBIs. He helped you get, he told a story. He could connect you with the players. He could make you feel like you knew the players better because he took the time to get to know them better and to get their stories and pass it along to all of us.
Well, and how much of that is just the nature of calling the game of baseball, whether it's television or radio, and you've worked in three-man and woman booths, which is different in that you don't have as much airtime, but if you're in a two-person radio booth and you got a three-hour baseball game, there's a lot of breathing room there to share stories, and people feel like they know a little bit more about you because you're not only just talking about the nuts and bolts of what's happening.
Right. I remember the first year when I started with Buck in 1995, and he told me, and this is the way we tried to do it. We tried to make the baseball game sound like a conversation between us as we're sitting at a bar watching a baseball game. We tried to make it a three-person conversation, him, me, and the viewer. And, Jerry, I don't even want to say was great. Jerry is great at that kind of stuff. And there is a lot of time, whether it's two-man, three-man, TV, radio, no matter what you do, there's a lot of time. For many years, when it was Tom and Jerry, it was two play-by-play guys, not play-by-play man and analyst. And, there were times in Tom's innings when Jerry wasn't on all that much, time in Jerry's innings when Tom wasn't on all that much, and sometimes they interacted a lot. So sometimes you're literally like a one-man show for a half inning or an inning or an inning and a half, whatever it might be. And that takes a special skill set as well. But he never he always found a way to put good information in there, to humanize it, to make everything relevant, and to make it fun. He always, you know, that if we hear his voice in our heads right now, mm-hmm. you know, it's an upbeat, positive, I'm happy to be at the ballpark voice, and you know, how can I make this the best possible broadcast for each and every listener who's out there? And that's a pretty special thing.
It's also pretty special to be able to get through life without a cell phone. Like, how is that possible?
It's amazing. I know like 2-3 times a year, I'll walk up to him and I'll go, Jerry, and I'll pretend to be mad at him. And I'll say, like, I keep texting you and you never answer them. And he just chuckles and walks away. So it is amazing. He does have email, but he only gets it at home. I don't think he travels like an iPad. Maybe he does travel. I don't think he travels an iPad or anything like that. So,
I think he just started recently using an iPad, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you want to call Jerry, you better have his home number because he's that guy with a landline. So
yeah.
But it is amazing. But you know what? He stuck to his principles. He felt he didn't need one. He wanted the people that he was dealing with face to face to know they were the most important thing, you know, to him. He didn't want the distractions of the buzzing or the ringing or whatever it was. And it is amazing. I don't think I know any other person who doesn't have a cell phone, you know,
no.
who's over the age of like 10. And but it's, you know, Jerry is unique in many, many ways. And you know, we've talked a lot about his career, but he embraced Toronto. He embraced Canada. He got his citizenship. He became a basketball coach in the community. He was philanthropic in the community, continues to be. So, you know, he left his mark on a lot of different people, not just the people who listen to him on the radio.
No doubt about it. Before we let you go, Dan, we're in the early days here of spring training. In fact, it hasn't started yet. Tomorrow, first day pitchers and catchers report to Dunedin for the Toronto Blue Jays. It's JD and I were talking earlier that it's we knew this team to compete in 2018 would have to do it on pitching and defense. That seems like it's definitely going to be the case because while they've improved the offense from it being dead last in runs scored in the American League a season ago, it doesn't seem like they've improved it by leaps and bounds. And I guess there's still time to make improvements. But yeah, they're going to have to win games 3-2 and 2-1, it feels like.
I think so. I think it'll be a combination of ways. I mean, there are a lot of ifs about this team. You know, Devin Travis is a huge if. If Travis is healthy, that significantly improves the offense. If Grichuk can swing and miss less, I mean, I've seen a lot of this guy covering the Cardinals. Mm-hmm. He can hit the ball a mile and a half. He's just got to not strike out the other three times. If he can make some contact, you know, situationally hit a little bit and just maybe chase out of the zone a little bit less, he's got a chance to really help offensively. But you're right. When they were great, the starting rotation was so good 2 years ago, and I'm not sure we can expect it to ever get all the way back to that level. But is it reasonable to assume Estrada doesn't have that one bad month or 6 weeks in the middle? I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
Is it reasonable to assume that they get more out of certain guys than they got last year? I think so. The biggest key, to me, the number one key on the whole team, is the health of Aaron Sanchez.
Yeah.
I mean, if Aaron Sanchez makes 30 starts, the Blue Jays are going to win a pretty good number of those games. If somebody makes 30 starts instead of Aaron Sanchez, they're going to win a lot less of those games. And you know, if everything else had gone wrong for the Blue Jays last year, if they had just had a healthy Sanchez, mm-hmm. you can make a pretty good case they win 5, 6, 7 more games of those 30 starts. And then there are 500 teams, slightly above 500, not a playoff team, but they're a lot more interesting and things I don't think look as bleak going into this year. And I'm not sure they should look bleak. I'm not sure people should be saying, hey, this is a playoff team. But I think there's some room for growth because so many things went wrong last year that it's reasonable to assume some of them will go right this year.
Yeah, everybody has hope this time of year. That's what baseball
that's
is
what
all
it's
about.
For. That's what spring training is for.
Yeah, you're right. Let's not abandon it yet. Dan, thanks for this.
Okay, thanks, guys. Thanks.